Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Beer scholars Craig Gravina and Alex McLeod explore the sudsy story of Upper Hudson Valley beer in their new book, Hudson Valley Beer. The Upper Hudson Valley, the book is called Upper Hudson Valley Beer, actually. The Upper Hudson Valley has a long and full-bodied brewing tradition. Arriving in the 1600s, the Dutch established the area as a brewing center, a trend that continued well into the 18th century, despite two devastating wars. Since the 1980s, there has been a renaissance in Upper Hudson Valley craft brewing, including Newman's, C.H. Evans, Schmaltz, and Chatham Brewing. On Friday night, the Greenwich Free Library in Greenwich, New York, will host Books and Beer, an author event and talk with another part of that renaissance, the Argyle Brewing Company in Greenwich, New York. The event is at 5 o'clock with beers from the Argyle Brewing Company being served till 9. At 7 o'clock, Craig Gravina will discuss the book and talk about beer and books. And it's just all good things coming together on Friday night at the Greenwich Library, which is right on Main Street in the Village. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Craig Gravina to the program.
Thank you for having me
back, actually. very nice to have you here. Thank you very much. So how's the book going?
The book is going really well. I have been all over the area talking about it, and I love the opportunity to talk about history and beer, especially with people who may not necessarily know how rich of a history that this area has as far as brewing goes.
So when we think about that history, I think many people know about Albany being kind of a brew center, but to the extent of this valley of having such I don't know. Is powerhouse too strong a word?
No, I think it was comparable to what was happening in New York City. I think it was comparable to what was happening in Philadelphia at different points of time, you know. But I think it's like the 1860s, 1870s, that 10-year time period, there were like 50 or 60 breweries operating between Albany and Troy and a little bit into Schenectady too. And Hudson, I mean, it really was a brewing center.
So what we're doing, this renaissance that we're talking about, is how much is that in honor and in the traditional sense of what happened here before?
Well, you know, I was just talking about this to somebody yesterday. You know, the...
I didn't hear that.
I know. You were not involved with that conversation.
Okay, yeah.
If you want to call the next time, that would be fine.
Thanks.
You know, what makes this area unique is its ale brewing tradition going all the way back to the Dutch. You know, when people think of American brewing, they really think of that sort of German style, you know, lager that came in at the end of the 19th century. This area has been really, really strong in sort of the British tradition and warm fermented ale all the way into the 20th century, even after Prohibition. So in the last 25, 30 years, with the upsurgence of craft brewing, you know, a lot of craft brewers, they're getting into making lager now, but most of them started making ale, and that's ale, you know, India Pale Ale and Stout and Brown Ales and sort of those traditional microbrewery beers that came up in the 1980s and early 1990s are part of that ale brewing tradition. And Bill Newman specifically, you know, he's the first microbrewery to open east of the Rocky Mountains in 1980. And he was specifically making beer that came out of an English ale brewing tradition, which harkens back to what was kind of being made here.
You write about this in the book, and you have been a part of this Albany Ale project. Talk a little bit about Albany Ale and what it was.
Albany Ale was sort of a culmination of about 200 years of brewing history prior to the mid-19th century. You know, the Dutch came in, they brought their brewing tradition in. Prior to the American Revolution, New York became sort of a grain-growing center, the breadbasket of the colonies. After the American Revolution, we have this influx of British and Scottish brewers into the area. So you've got 200 years of beer being made here. And when the canal opens up, it allows for malt and grain to be brought down the canal to Albany. You have the hops industry, which explodes in central New York. And you have all of these really big breweries that start opening up in Albany and Schenectady and Troy. And they're all making a very similar sort of strong, pale, relatively hopped ale that they start to brand as Albany Ale. And you start seeing advertisements for it in the mid-19th century, literally all over the world.
I found this fascinating in the book because really 1900 and beyond is sort of the tail end of the story, minus the Renaissance, of course.
Yeah.
But you point out that no breweries opened in Albany in the 30-year period between 1890 and 1920, and there was some production. It was relatively high, but then a lot of mergers, acquisitions, and things started to crumble.
Yeah. You know, Schaefer Brewery buys. Which Schaefer was a big right. New York City brewery. They exceed their capacity in the late 1940s. So they come up and they buy Beverwijk Brewing Company, and that's really the last time that a brewery gets bought and sort of revamped, or I don't want to say it was recreated, but you know, that was the main brewery in Albany. Troy had Fitzgerald Brothers and Stanton. They were harkening back to some of the older days. But, yeah, there's not anything new that opens in Albany until Bill Newman opens his brewery in 1980. It's sort of kicking off the craft beer movement on the East Coast. In fact, Jim Cook from Sam Adams had come to Albany and taken some of Bill's seminars and really learned how to make beer commercially viable.
Mm. When and it's safe to say that it's quite viable.
Well, I meant that craft beer, right, in the really early days.
But I mean now. I mean, when you look at it now, this Renaissance, this is we're looking at some pretty good business models, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt that there is a boom going on right now. I mean, breweries are opening literally hand over fist, and it's really exciting. It's a good time. I mean, I don't own a brewery, so I can't speak for, you know, how well they're all doing. But it is a really good time to be a beer drinker. That is for sure.
So when you have these places like Argyle Brewing Company, which is a great story because Argyle Brewing Company is Argyle is a dry town. And so one town over from Greenwich, it's a dry town, and they can't open a brewery in Argyle because it's a dry town. So they move over and open it up in Greenwich. And well, we're lucky enough now in our village to have this great brewery. So they're going to be a part of this event that you're going to take part in on Friday. You're going to be speaking about the book, talking about beer, and while you're doing that, the guys will be plying the audience
slinging
with
some drinks.
Yeah, that's now I've just poured you what is their newest. It's the Witch's Brew. It's a bitter chocolate oatmeal stout. Obviously, they can do a much better job explaining this than I can, but they were nice enough to let me bring it in, so that's good.
Allow me to say this. Woof, because if all of the beers on Friday night smell as good as this beer, then everybody is. I haven't even taken a drink, and I smelled that, and I said, "Wow, that smells fantastic!"
So I love this beer. This is a great beer. I've been enjoying this for the last couple of weeks. So 7.5%. That's their biggest beer so far, I think.
Oh, I could drink that all day. What time is it? Is it even 11 o'clock?
Yeah. Well, no, we're at 10:55. We're
excellent.
All right.
I think
But rich and malty and a lot of cocoa.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not a huge super fan of chocolate in beer, but this is nice. It's got a nice balance between the chocolate and the hops, and I'm happy, Joe. I'm happy you brought this in.
I'm happy you're happy. Let me ask you this question. I think this is you know, look, there are people who were this is what I have noticed. This is all anecdotal, but here's what I've noticed. Since Argyle Brewing has moved into town, what I have seen is that you have a brewery that is providing beer for the community, and you drive by and sometimes you don't see many cars there, but you look in and the place is packed and you think, oh, why is that? Oh, that's because everybody walked there.
Right.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then you have people, but when you're in there and you're talking to people, and you know, I do this every once in a while just for research. And
of course.
And you go in. And
me too.
What's fascinating is that, you know, there are the people who are there every week who come in and try the new beers and are excited about the new stuff that's on tap and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then there are the people who come in, they have the maps. You know, they're doing the tour. This is destination. There's a new place on the road.
Yeah.
And that's exciting that there are all of these places that people can visit and talk about. And because they are really into the product, they're into the beer, they're into the process.
Well, you know, and we put a caveat in our book at the very beginning in the introduction that said, basically, we're sorry if we didn't mention your town or your brewery in this book, because there are so many breweries in history. Every town, every little place, beer was part of life. So they needed somebody to make beer. So they, whether it was a large brewery or a little brew house, somebody was making beer. And that's what I think is really great about this. Justin Behan out at Green Wolf Brewing in Middleburg is a good friend of mine. He's a perfect example. And Argyle is the same way. It's the village brewery.
Yeah.
It's where people are coming to. It's, you know, it would be great if they exploded and they could distribute to California or they could distribute to Buffalo or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
But really they're focusing, and I think that's the real new model, is that they're focusing on their own community. And, you know, it can happen in a city too. You can have the neighborhood brewery. You know, I live off of New Scotland Avenue, and I would love to see just a little place that opens up in there, a little two-barrel brewing system. That would be fantastic because I could walk.
Well, that's right.
My wife wouldn't be all that happy about it, but
we would have loved to have the guys from Argyle Brewing. They both have day jobs, and so prevent them that are important jobs, so that they have to go do their work. But you can catch them and meet Craig Gravina and talk and hear his talk about Upper Hudson Valley beer and all of this, which helps the Greenwich Library, which is very important. Talking about centerpiece of the community, so they really need that help. It's a books and beer event, an author talk with the Argyle Brewing Company in Greenwich. It's from 5 to 9. The book talks at 7 with Craig Gravina talking about Upper Hudson Valley Beer, which is a terrific book from History Press. And you can find out more by going to greenwich.sals.edu for more information. And come by and we'll have a great time Friday night. Craig, thank you very much for coming in, and I look forward to seeing you Friday.
I look forward to seeing you, and I love coming in.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more, greenwich.sals.edu, Friday night, 7 o'clock for the signing. 5 o'clock is when the beer starts being poured. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.